to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Puck Guys Podcast.
We be back
at the Lamb household today.
Ooh, fancy.
I know, huh?
Right at the kitchen table where all the great podcasts start.
Not in a garage.
Yeah.
Not like all the other cool stuff that happens in the world.
You don't want to be in my garage. There's a lot of hockey gear that doesn't smell particularly
great.
It
smells like your ass all the time you're in the garage.
That's just me normally. But
no, it's true. Yeah. Well, lots on the show today. Playoffs are honestly just been exciting as hell.
Yeah.
Especially in the West. I don't really. It's been cool watching the East.
You just don't like the East for some reason.
Yeah, it's because they suck. Right. Except for Ovi.
Yeah, okay.
It's the only thing I like about the East Coast right now. So we got that to talk about.
Yep.
And a little bit of this and a little bit of that when it comes to gambling. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy going on yet, but just the idea popped up on Twitter. That'd be cool to talk about.
I bet you it'll be good to talk about.
And then the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Uh-huh.
You got to figure out who we're going to be giving that to. And then a little bit of a Ducks prospects updates, and then if you really want to talk about the world, we can talk about Sweden's dominance.
We can dabble.
Yeah, a little bit. No one cares about that tournament. Oh, apparently Canadians do. Everyone's all upset they lost today.
Dude, spoiler.
Canada sucks this year, which is awesome. So let's get this on the road. But first, you got to give it a shout-out to gruelingtruth.net. That's where Mike likes to host our show, amongst a million other things that are great for sports articles, blogs, other podcasts. I mean, we talk about it every week. It's just, I feel like we just a broken record talking about how cool that site is because it gets so many hits. We were down last week because of the amount of hits that site gets, which is awesome because we're growing. But there's another hockey podcast on there, Fourth Line Podcast. I think there's still a Bruins show on there, Black and Gold. Go check that out. I know they're still on there. I don't know if they have any new content just because, well, Boston's not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But go there for boxing, MMA, baseball, football, basketball.
College.
Name it. It's on there. So check them out, gruelingtruth.net. And now we'll go to the Eastern Conference Final.
Uh-huh.
Got to talk about that to get a, you know, get rid of the bad before we talk about the good. Capitals and the Lightning. Series tied 2-2, game 5 today in just a couple hours back in Tampa.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Home team has not won a game this series, which is strange.
Yeah, 0 for 4.
Really feel like Vasilevsky pulled out his best Marc-Andre Fleury last game. I felt like the Caps, just for whatever reason, couldn't put the puck in the net, and mostly it's been a power play issue.
Yeah, and that's kind of the key I thought was going to be for Washington, was to be able to exploit any of those penalties, because the penalty kill for Tampa Bay is just horrific from the season. It really wasn't anything much all that much different in the first two rounds. But yeah, these last two games, that power play has gone a little silent for Tampa Bay, or sorry, for Washington. But you got to give props to Vasilevsky, because he's pulling out saves all over the place, like you said, a la Marc-Andre Fleury flower. So
flower.
He's kind of channeling that, and sometimes goalies will come, and sometimes a series, and that's kind of what it's looked like, especially on that Caps power play.
He hasn't had the best numbers. I mean, Vasilevsky's sitting at a 918 save percentage for the playoffs.
Yeah,
not amazing. I mean, you kind of always think the elite guys are on 920, and he and Holpe both are below that.
Yeah.
Just kind of a strange playoff for them. I mean, they haven't really been standouts. They're always regular season standouts. And even Holtbeast was a playoff just monster.
Yeah.
But his team could never win.
Yeah.
But just strange how the Caps power play fizzles out. And then Tampa's able to score on the power play. Stamkos, Kucherov.
Yeah.
They're starting to put the puck in the net. Yeah. That's a dangerous game to be playing when you're tied 2-2 going into game 5. I feel like this is a win or go home for the Caps.
It's tough. I mean, when games are tied 2-2 and you go into game 5, someone's coming out of there with that thought of just one more and we're in. The other team is one more and we're out. So, yeah, I mean, the Tampa Bay has done better on the power play. They've been 3-for-7 those last two games in Washington. But I think the Capitals may start to kind of get a little bit more help in that area. They've missed Backstrom the entire series except for last game. And Backstrom was actually playing on the third line versus playing his normal spot in the second line with TJ Oshie. I think hopefully, you know, his hand is healed up a little bit better from the injury he sustained in the previous round against Pittsburgh. But if he can start getting some of those passes out there, trying to find Ovi, and that, you know, those two guys have that chemistry, you can maybe see see that kind of turn around. So it's not from a lack of effort from Washington, because over the last two games, they've actually outshot Tampa Bay 76-43.
Oh, it's been brutal.
It's 33 more shots in two games. And if you go, well, what about 5-on-5? They've almost doubled them up on that. They had 60 shots, and Tampa Bay had 35 over those last two games. So that tells me Tampa Bay's goalie is playing outstanding, and Washington is doing a lot of right things, getting a lot of shots. So they it'll be interesting with Backstrom back, seeing who wins that game five, since no home team has really won or looked like they were going to win any of these games.
Just strange. I mean, do you think the Caps can recover from blowing in a 2-0 lead in this series and coming back and maybe able to win two more?
Yeah.
That's strange. It's because we've seen the Caps fall apart in series when things get tough. Yeah. You know, they just can't get over the hump, right? I mean, that happened against Pittsburgh over and over and over again. They finally get over Pittsburgh here. Now there's no Matt Murray in the way of Ovechkin going in, no Sidney Crosby in the way of that, no of Getty Malkin. But now you got Stamkos, Kucherov, and apparently Vasilevsky's going to take over a period and steal game four.
Yeah.
Do you really think the Caps have a chance to pull out? I know you predicted Tampa.
Tampa in six. But, yeah, I've been more impressed with how Washington has played this series. I thought there's the unknown. I didn't know how much of an emotional letdown would be, early on in the series after finally Washington beating Pittsburgh and getting past that. And it's just that whole, okay, a little bit of relax. But they came out of the gate, and they won two games in Tampa Bay. They're going back there. Hopefully that's their home cooking. They've been doing good. The right people are doing the right things. Ovechkin's still scoring goals, so he hasn't been, completely silent. They got to get that power play back. I think Backstrom will probably help that out. And then they got to hope that they can start solving Vasilevsky, because right now he's just looking like he could get in the heads of that team. And sometimes that psyche of a team like that where, oh, my God, we made it to the next round. We're really making that step. And then all of a sudden you're running a goalie that's shutting you down. That can really kind of play havoc. So they've got to be a little bit strong mentally. Obviously, if they win game five, I feel they got a great chance in the next two games to pull the upset.
Then it's going seven. If the Caps win today, it's probably going to go seven.
Well, it's got to if the Caps are going to win. Well, yeah.
Because they can't win at home.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll care at this point. You kind of got to just deal with it and say sorry to your fans and move on and win a cup. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, ultimately they need to get into the finals. I don't know if this is really going to be anything for Trotz as far as the head coach for Washington. If he doesn't get in, he's kind of in that same boat where it's a career of great regular season, decent playoffs, but he's never even been to the third round, even through Nashville or Washington. And then to have kind of an exit like that would be really tough. I don't know if they'd still try and keep him around, maybe give him another shot at it because his contract's up.
Did you notice anything about the power play? I felt like in the last two games, a lot of passing, a lot of overpassing, a lot of overthinking when things don't start clicking. That tends to happen a lot. We saw it all the time with Anaheim, with their power play, with struggles. It's just like pass after pass after pass. You're like, oh, my God, just get it to the middle and shoot the puck.
Tampa Bay has also done a fairly decent
job. They got good defensemen, too.
Yeah, not only that, but, I mean, they've done a good job. And one thing I noticed was the blocks that they were getting. Callahan was blocking a ton of over.
Trying to glove them down.
Yeah, and McDonough's stopping them. So, I mean, seeing a lot of guys going out and actually, laying down in front of those Ovechkin shots. It's that time of year where you go all out. You don't get out of a series without bumps and bruises, and you're going to have to lay your body on the line, so to speak. You can't half-ass most of that stuff. So you've got to go all the way and sell out, and that's kind of what they're doing with it. So the penalty kill's been a little bit better. They're forcing them to try and pass it around maybe, but ultimately that power play is so talented with everybody on there, Backstrom, the Oshie, the Ovechkin, Carlson on the back end. That's just too many good offensive weapons that can't, they can't keep missing like this. They eventually got to get it. I think they will. It's just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, Vasi's not been the best goaltender after, a little over the midway point of the regular season. He was all the talk about the Vezina. Mm-hmm. He's kind of, teetered off a bit. And then you look at the goal he gave up against Orlov. I mean, it was a laser to the far side, sure. But, I mean, Vasilevsky was not square at all. He was, leaning up against the post. It wasn't have his shoulder out. Mm-hmm. He's beatable. He's not looking like Marc-Andre Fleury, except in that damn third period. But I still think the Caps can pull it out. Yeah, I think they will.
There's still a possibility. I'm hard-pressed because once Tampa Bay kind of gets on a roll, whether or not they deserve to win, they just keep going. They lost game one against Boston and got shellacked 6-2 and then went out and won the next four games. They got beat twice. And then they've won two more. If they go back home and win that game, then I can see them still winning in six easily. So game five tonight is really critical on who's going to win this, as it usually is.
All right. So going over to the Western Conference final, the one that everyone's giving a crap about way more, the Golden Knights are somehow up in this series 3-1.
I do not want them to win because I'm tired, and I don't like that everyone says that opening thing is so neat. Man, they know how to throw a party.
It was kind of cool last time when they cut the plane in half. It was kind of fun.
I don't care. I stopped watching after the first round. I'm just like, I can't handle this. I was going to wonder, who's the Knight going to fight?
They know how cheesy it is. I mean, it's Vegas. There's always a cheesiness about Vegas. And it's kind of
I just hate the narrative that everyone goes like, they really know how to put on a show. It's like, shut up. That is stupid. I mean, for NHL, I guess it's amazing. You know, I mean,
you picked the Knights to win the series.
Yes, I did.
And you don't want them to win.
I don't want their pregame. I don't want to see it. I mean, if you're going to do it, go ahead, do it. I mean, all the other teams have it, but we don't see it. We have to see that one. We're forced to sit down and watch it, which is why I don't.
But the team overall is just puzzling to me. They lose 4-2, and they were just outcompeted in game one. Mm-hmm. They've won three straight. I remember speaking about this in my prediction that you got to shut down that top line, because after that top line, maybe James Neal puts in a point or two. Mm-hmm. And then you can get away with it because the Jets can just roll lines and they have a better defensive core. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell is going on. the Knights somehow are just able to break through whatever the Jets are throwing out there, because Marchessault's got 7 points in four games. Carlson's got 4 or 5 points in this series as well. Mm-hmm. And they're scoring every freaking game. Yeah. I mean, if it's not Marchessault, it's Carlson. And then last game, it's Riley Smith with 7 minutes to go on a whiff on Byfuglien, and he just goes bar down with a laser by Hellebuck. I don't know what to make of this. They're going to the Stanley Cup final. It's insane.
Yeah,
the Jets are not going to win three games in a row, and on the other side of that, the Knights just aren't going to lose three games in a row. It's just not happening.
They haven't lost two in a row, so they've got to start there and work their way up, I guess. The reason is one and only Fleury, the petals. The flower, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call him, he's showing up big time. That first game was three. The game three. It's just he's the reason this team is doing as well as they are, beating the teams as good as they have been, and he's stopping Scheifele. Scheifele should have I think he's got 3 goals in this series in 4 games. He should have 8, 6, or 7. I'm thinking he's so close. It's either hitting the post or this guy's just making insane saves. That's pretty much it.
I don't know what else to talk about, because when you're looking at this, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It makes no sense. The Jets scored. The Knights scored. Jets scored, tied it up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the Knights score again within a minute.
Yeah.
So then now they're losing again. Yeah. And then the Jets find a way to claw back and score a tying goal. Last game was Tyler Myers. No one saw it go in the net. It's in the back of the ref.
And the ref was behind there. Never saw it going in.
So they review it, give it a goal.
Yeah.
Dude, minute later.
Right back.
Knights come back and score again. I don't know what the Jets are going to do in this situation. They had to win last night. They had to. Yeah. And they couldn't figure it out. And they dominated game three and game four and lose.
Yeah, there's a few things they're gonna have to try and do, as you know. It's no news flash.
Run Marc-Andre Fleury.
I don't know. He's so nice though. I don't think anyone wants to.
No.
But you have to stop the top line, because they're the ones who are killing it right now. I mean, James Neal's also a factor, but like you said, they've got decent enough defensemen in Byfuglien, Trouba, Myers that should be able to, you know, any given time they're gonna be out there against those top two lines. And then I don't know, it's just like everyone needs to play just 1% better, except Line A needs to do like 20% better.
Yeah,
but everyone needs to do like 1% better, and it's just that little bit that might kind of overturn it. But Line A only has 2 goals. He's had, you know, tons of looks at it, but he's just he seems like a non-factor almost. And when he led the team and was, I think, second in goals for the NHL, he's been awfully quiet this whole postseason. I mean, he's broken through on the power play. And, you know, if he's getting wide, wide open, there's no chance he seems to be able to get the goal. But he's got to find a way to beat Fleury. And then Hellebuck's got to play better. He was great in the first 2 rounds. A little shaky, got pulled in one of the games against Nashville. But, you know, finished that series strong, I think, with a couple of shutouts. And then, but this series, besides the first game win, that was the only time he broke 90 save percentage. It was a 90.5. Ever since then, he's been below 90. So Fleury is just murdering it on the other side. And on this side, every, 10th shot goes in on him.
And the Knights really aren't putting up a ton of shots either.
No, they're grossly outshot every game. And he's got to be better. I mean, he's got to up his game. Whatever that is, some of them aren't really his fault. They're just capitalizing on those chances. But he's got to find a way, because if he does not outplay Marc-Andre Fleury in one of these next three games, they're done.
Yeah, the backbreaker last game was the Nosek one, right when the Jets tied it up.
Yeah.
And then the Knights come around and Nosek gets a jam in front of the crease and it goes in. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You're going to give that up, too? I mean, even Lucas Spisa had an assist on that, and that guy doesn't know how to play hockey in the NHL anymore. Yeah. And I don't mean that to be too harsh, although that is harsh.
Yeah.
He's just not an NHL caliber defenseman, I feel like, but somehow the Knights have made use of him.
Yeah.
And that whole team doesn't make sense to me. None of it makes sense to me.
They don't care, man. It's like the Gallant said at the beginning of the season, guys. No one wanted us, misfit toys here, land of misfit toys. But they just go out and have fun. No one expects anything from us, and have fun. They look like they're having fun, and that's led by Fleury. Did the wet willy on Scheifele at the end of game three, or was it Wheeler?
Yeah.
He did it at the end of the game because I felt lonely, and everyone's scrumming everywhere, and I didn't have anything to do. So,
dude, those idiots, all the media, is that just as bad as what Brad Marsh? I was like, no, he didn't lick anyone's
face. He didn't lick his
finger.
Yeah, it was like he's just like tickling his ear.
He's just messing with him.
Yeah.
Oh
right.
My God, dude.
I don't know what's more offensive: getting a stinky glove palm in your face or someone just tickling your ear.
It's like, why is that a big deal?
I didn't even think he inserted the finger. I think he just kind of like tickled the top part of his ear. So yeah, you can calm down, internet, trying to rile people up.
The media, everyone's going crazy. It should be banned. It should just be just as bad as Brad Marchand's, licking someone's mouth. Oh, okay. Let me ask you what you'd rather have a man do to you. Would you rather have a guy lick your mouth all the way up to your nose or then touch the outside of your ear? You tell me which one's worse.
It depends. Have I been drinking?
Where's my hand been?
Yeah,
where's exactly. This person's hand been?
Yeah. Am I single?
Yeah. So, is it over?
I have a really hard time.
You're looking like a 90-10 percentage for me.
The only way is if Fleury gets down to normal numbers and the onslaught of shots and pressure from Winnipeg continues to stay at least at its own pace, if not ramped up. But they got to find a hole. Fleury's got to, spring a leak somewhere. And I don't think he does that three games in a row. So it's hard for me to pick Winnipeg at this point, which is why I didn't really pick him in the first place. I did pick him in six, so Winnipeg could win one at home for the home fans.
I think Winnipeg wins next game, and that's it.
Yeah, I find it. I can see that happening for sure, because I think at this point, Winnipeg's frustrated. They know they've played good enough to win. It's just getting goals.
They're all pissed. Did you hear him? We would have won. We win that game. It said nine times out of ten.
Yeah.
We win that game. It makes no sense to them.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes that's the thing where a goalie just gets in your head, and you have those chances, and you miss, or you hit the post. You're trying to do it too fine. It's just. It's gut check time. It's just go all out, leave nothing out there. Because if you kind of half-ass it and waiting for things, then you're going to be on the outside looking in.
Scheifele, the two shots on Fleury in game three, and then Laine with the post. And then just last game, of course, it's Riley Smith going bar down on an insane shot on Hellebuck. It just – everything's happening. All the magic's happening.
The stars are lining up for this Vegas team. There's just no way around it.
Winnipeg needs to not let the Knights score in the first 3 minutes of every game, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, really? They just scored 35 seconds into the game in game three. Then they scored just under 3 minutes in game four on a really soft call on Tyler Myers. I don't know if you saw a little cross-check. It was nothing.
No,
soft call
in
the beginning of that. Yeah. And Carlson had a chance to score prior to that and then get on the power play. And who finds him? March so finds Carlson.
Yeah.
A one-timer right across, and there's no chance for Hellebuck at that point. You're on the power play. Interesting. I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow at noon. So
right now, what do you think? Because next time we talk, it'll probably be Stanley Cup Finals. You're thinking Vegas, obviously.
It's Vegas and – Jesus, I hope it's not Tampa. Vegas and – I want it to be Vegas and Ovechkin.
Okay, I didn't ask what you wanted.
That's what I want.
Okay.
What is it going to be? I put all my money on Vegas at this point, obviously, and then I would put money on the Caps. I think the Caps are going to be able to pull that out.
All right.
I just don't like Vasilevsky. I don't like the way he spells his name.
Yeah. It is weird. I went to go spell his name, and oh, there's an I before the Y.
Yeah.
It's like, make up your mind. It's either an I or a Y, not both.
All right. So then let's talk about the Conn Smythe while we're sitting on the playoff topic.
Might as well.
One for each team.
All right.
Obviously, the Knights have got Fleury.
Yes.
If no Fleury, you have to pick Marchessault, right?
Yeah, but I don't see how.
If you don't have Fleury, you have to take Marchessault. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
So if there's any... Buddy
no. What I'm saying is, like, if Fleury was not as good, then obviously it would be Marchessault's been carrying this team offensively.
This whole premise is dumb because if Fleury wasn't there, they wouldn't even be, and they'd already be swept, in my opinion. So
I don't know. Malcolm Subban probably did the same thing. Just Vegas has that house magic going.
That's true, but
okay. Looking on the other side of the ice in that same series, Scheifele. He's got to be the guy you're talking about for Winnipeg.
Yeah,
insane amount of goal scoring, clutch.
He's pretty close to setting a record that Crosby set, right?
15 goals in a playoff. It was like 15 in 2009 when Pittsburgh won the first cup.
Yeah, and that's like the first one in the modern era, I think, is what they said. So it's the fact that it's is passing Crosby is going to set a record. I mean, any other time, and he's doing that, and it's the third round. I mean, they still got to win three more games. Imagine if they do that and go to the Stanley Cup Finals. He's got to be well ahead of that record by the end of that. He's going to have to be. But yeah, Shifley's that. I could have made an argument for Hellebuck because I'm a goalie, and I might have said maybe him or maybe even Byfuglien being as dominant as he's been physically. But with the way Hellebuck's played this series, and same with Scheifele. He's just got to swing Scheifele's
If Hellebuck play. Wins the next three games in outstanding fashion, mm-hmm. then okay, maybe you could put him up there with Scheifele as, okay, he just stole a series to go to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You got to consider him for the Conn Smythe at that point. Going to the East, the tough one for me to pick out over there in Tampa was Tampa. I was like, who do I pick out of Tampa? Vasilevsky? He doesn't have great numbers.
Yeah.
Stamkos?
I would say Stamkos. He was off to a bit of a slow start in that New Jersey series. But right now, I think he's running a three-game goal-scoring streak. I think he's got a six-game point-scoring streak. He's scoring on the power play. He's a threat, and he's making the Capitals pay pretty much every game now. He did really well in the Boston series, too, giving a guy who normally tends to kind of fall off in the playoffs a little bit once they kind of teams isolate him, but Kucherov kind of brings a little bit more attention off of Stamkos, so I think he's able to flourish a little bit better. The only other person I might give it to is Point.
Point, Kucherov, and Stamkos all have 16 points.
Yeah, so. And Point's doing that on the second line, and he's doing that when he's also playing the shutdown role. So you could really kind of make an argument that way. Well, let's put it this way. If it comes down to between those two, the NHL's going to say Stamkos.
Of course. You got to give it to Captain Canada.
Exactly. The one who's more popular and can get people all riled up and happy.
Yeah, well, if I had to actually pick going into the – if I was looking at the Stanley Cup Final right now, if somehow Tampa made it, and I don't care who made it from the West, even in a losing scenario for the West, you give the Conn Smythe to Fleury. You give the Conn Smythe probably to Scheifele. I don't think anyone on Tampa really deserves it. They're kind of doing it as a unit.
Yeah.
And their goaltending is, been not great. They've had to outscore the Caps. So we go to the Caps side of things, Ovi or Kuzi.
Yeah,
Kuzi's got 21 points. Yeah. Ovi's got 20, but Ovi's really was that driving force last series against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
But Kuznetsov was too. He got the game-winning goal in overtime, right?
Yeah.
So it's troubling between the two of the guys who you're going to pick there.
Yeah, it's another kind of who's slightly better. I would think once again I'd have to lean a little bit more towards Ovechkin just because he's putting up the goals, and it's almost kind of like. I don't want to say
lifetime achievement
award. Right. It's kind of like that, he's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And I think, now this just, if they get to the Stanley Cup Finals and if they win the Stanley Cup, as long as he has, he keeps on trucking the way he has, I can definitely see him getting that little tiara, the crown at the end. And,
I would hope so. I don't care if anyone's going to complain about it. It's like, just let him have it.
Yeah. And it's like, they'll do that too. Cause I would think last year, Malkin was a little bit better deserving of the Conn Smythe, and they still gave it
to Sid. Of course.
But to touch on what you said, in my opinion, it's going to be real easy. If Vegas gets the Stanley Cup Finals, there's almost no way I can foresee that Fleury doesn't win the Conn Smythe, even if they lose. The only way I see that is if they get swept and he gives up 3 to 4 goals and a lot of them are softies. Because other than that, there's no reason that they even made it to the finals without him in there. He's just been the definition of Conn Smythe. So if they make it in, no matter who they play, and as long as they don't get blown out quickly in every game, I can't see anyone else really winning that Conn Smythe.
Dude's got a 9.45 save percentage in the conference final. I mean, all the way through the playoffs, including in the conference final. It's insane.
Yeah.
So there is your playoffs in a nutshell between the two conferences and our Conn Smythe Trophy nominees or winners, however you want to put it. It's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury if they go to the final for sure.
Yeah.
So just quickly a few other things. Because not much in the world of hockey is going on outside of those. There was an interesting article by Craig Custance from The Athletic that was talking about the end of upper body and lower body injuries with the introduction of the possibility of gambling being widespread in America.
Say what?
Yeah, so the NFL's ultra specific about injuries.
Well, like back up. For those who don't know, Supreme Court ruled against the 1992 statute that said pretty much there was only like two states, Nevada and New Jersey, that were allowed to do sports gambling. Well, they finally got all the way up to them, and they struck it down. So that essentially opens the way for all states, if they choose, to now bet or make bets on sporting events. So that kind of changes a lot of different factors, and this angle is more on what does it mean for the NHL and how they report their injuries.
Right. So I just thought it was really interesting because the NHL is always so ambiguous. Mm-hmm. Guy takes an elbow to the head. Upper body injury. Okay, yeah. Moron. All we have to do is watch the tape.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like he's holding his right arm, and and it's like he's falling off or something. They're like, it could be a stubbed toe. We're not sure yet. We're gonna reevaluate it. Let the doctors look at it. I don't make any assumptions until I hear what the doctor says.
Because when money's on the line, people got to know what the injury is, how long he's gonna be out. Like, should they make the bet? Is he gonna play? Like, that's why it gets specific. And reading the article, it was mentioned that the players don't really care.
Yeah, for the most part.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm injured. Sometimes I guess when it's like a really personal injury or something like whatever going on, he's got some weird thing or the mumps. Like, remember when Sidney Crosby said he didn't have the mumps?
Yeah,
and
he looked like a swollen face.
He looked like what's his face from Family Guy? What's his name?
Oh, jeez, Giggity guy.
Yeah. What's his name?
Quagmire.
There
jeez.
You go. He looked like Quagmire.
That took way too long.
Chin all out, cheeks all out. It's like freaking Quagmire with the mumps.
Yeah.
I don't have the mumps. Yeah. We don't have the mumps here. No one has the mumps.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's an upper body injury.
You look like Quagmire. So it's funny because they always do that. It's like, come on.
It's always kind of funny
that will try to hide the injuries. And it's like Mark Methot getting his finger slashed off by Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Upper body injury. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You saw his finger hanging by the skin, right?
Yeah. What's weird is it's kind of creeped into the regular season, too, which I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be just a playoff. That guy got hurt. It was lower or upper body. That's the best you could hope for. You know, is he going to play? It's always a game time decision, you know, just like that. They don't really reveal it unless, he needs surgery and he's there's no way he could come back. But, yeah, they do it in the regular season now, which is kind of annoying because it's kind of like, just let us know what's going on, and they always tend to just take a lot longer to do that. I can understand it in the playoffs because you don't want the other team to change their, he's not going to play. He's out for probably the rest of the thing, the rest of the series because he has a tear in his MCL. If I know that, then I can go, all right, good. So we kind of don't have to worry about it. What are they going to do? And then they can already kind of anticipate or formulate a strategy. If you don't know, and you see that guy out there skating in warm-ups, which is another weird thing, they can do skating up in warm-ups, but then go sit down and they're not playing. Then it throws, now they have to have two strategies. What if he plays? What if he doesn't play? How are we going to attack both of those and try and instill that into their players?
But does it really matter?
It's a mind game.
I mean, I guess. But you should just prepare for that guy to be in the lineup anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. But some teams really won't because they're going to say, all right, if he's not here, here's how we can do. If he is here, this is how we're going to do it. Because it will change. If it's a major player, it'll change how you play against the team.
What's it like in the newer NHL games for Xbox?
I don't know. I keep losing.
Well, when you get injuries, do they actually say what the injury is?
Yeah, but I do, be a pro. So, I'm on it. So, it tells me, I just met with the doctors. You're going to be missing. It's weird. They go, you'll be missing 59 days.
You're like, whoa.
I'm like, don't make me do math. Just break it down. How many months, doc?
Almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they kind of do that. They don't say upper body. They usually.
You remember the old school games, like the worst injury we saw, and there was like scrotal contusions. And we're like,
I don't remember
what?
That. Was like, what?
Yeah, he's out 6 weeks with scrotal contusions. I was like, wow. All right, interesting. I guess that means ball bruises.
Yeah, I think he got cut, chuffed.
Interesting.
Interesting. I didn't realize.
I always thought that was so funny. But that would just like stuck in my head forever. I laughed so hard playing. Yeah. I was like, who? What? Yeah. Why is he out?
Yeah.
6 weeks?
Is that close enough to a head injury?
Yeah, he did. Took a puck to the dong and he's out. This is unbelievable. It's great. So I think it would be interesting, though. I think it's helpful. I mean, if you're betting, there's a lot of crazy people who take into account every situation possible when they go into bet. They have like it's their job, right? And yeah, people make like, a living off of it.
It's like Robert De Niro in Casino. He'd find out, you know, what kind of hardwood floor they were playing on, if the quarterback's girlfriend was pregnant. You know, he'd factor in all those things and bet on those little miscellaneous things.
And then
things.
He got mad when there was not enough blueberries in his blueberry muffin.
Yeah, very meticulous, that one.
Want an equal amount of blueberries in every muffin.
Do you know how long that's going to take?
And then he lost his shit. Yeah,
I don't care. Do it.
Just do it. You see this one?
Yeah.
Remember, I know we're going to go off on a little tangent here, but I love that part of the movie because he's sitting there talking. I figured he was talking to in the movie. But all of a sudden he looks at his muffin and he looks at his and he's like, What the hell?
I think it was talking to Don Rickles, his casino manager, that like, one. Look how many blueberries you have and how many I have. Oh, no, he was talking to somebody. He was talking back to him.
So I don't remember. Whatever. I just remember seeing that. I was like, that's hilarious. That movie, we found so many funny things about that movie when it's supposed to be like this like scary, mobbish movie. Yeah. Like, where he gets all crazy because we always like Joe Pesci's character being a nutbag the whole time. He's just a maniac.
Well, if you're joining us now, this is Pat and Jason Do the Movies.
Yeah, because we like movies.
Yeah.
We used to be cool. Huge movie buffs.
You don't like it, then.
Hockey took over. Yeah. All right, back to the NHL. So I think it's going to happen. I don't think Vegas is probably happy at all by this because everyone had to do their betting through them, and now they're like, oh, everyone's going to be able to bet wherever they want? Great.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see why they probably aren't huge fans of it, but whatever. You had a monopoly for quite a while, so.
Many decades.
Yeah, it's weird. All the places where you're kind of sure the mafia are, New Jersey and Nevada, where the sole proprietors are able to do all that gambling. Hoarding it for themselves.
Yeah, but now, I guess it doesn't really matter for Vegas because they have so many of the reasons people go there.
Yeah.
Like my wife's there for 6 days because of trade shows and they're just parking.
And it becomes state to state too, and it's not like full on gambling. It's just sports betting.
Right.
So it's, you know, every state is going to kind of have to make up whether or not they want to even allow sports betting. But almost all of them are going to do.
Because I think they will because the money. They're going to charge money for that. So, another revenue stream that we can blow on our pensions.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. All right. So, yeah. So, I don't know if it'll change all that much. Right now, the NHL is kind of a wait-and-see mode.
If it's done the right way.
Yes. Meaning we get as much money out of this as we can.
There's a lot of opportunity, but we're going to wait and see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. If he says they're going to wait and see, that means they're doing it.
So, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Before we get onto our Ducks update.
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand if you were watching hockey and then hockey ended during the playoffs. Recently, and then hockey was on again, but you weren't looking at the TV and you were confused by the teams that were playing. And you looked up and saw two guys playing Xbox for the EA Sports, NHL Esports League.
Uh-huh.
And there was commentary going on during the game. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
All right. Well, can I raise my hand? Because I'm confused
that
by
was
your
me,
whole question.
That was me. I was sitting on my couch. Watching a replay of the game from the night before, the game ended. So I looked down at my phone, I was scrolling through whatever, and I hear like other players going on. I was like, I didn't think about it. And all of a sudden, I hear someone like commentating that's not like a normal commentator.
Yeah.
And then talking about how like he should have selected this player or whatever. Like, whoa, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Weird. There's two nerds playing video games and they're on TV. And I'm not bashing nerds because
I am one.
I do play video games. You do too. But it's just kind of like, that's where it's going. Esports is becoming a big deal. And then I got enlightened to like all these other things, like League of Legends, I guess, is not a sports thing, I know, but like that's a huge one. They sell out like small arenas for that, or Overwatch. They just sell out small arenas for people to watch these things.
I have no idea what those are.
And they make money. They're Xbox games or PC games. I guess it's like a giant thing where they have teams. People make tens of thousands of dollars playing video games.
Are the South Koreans really good?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I think that's the only thing I know is that whenever there's like a gaming thing that happens, the team from South Korea seems to murder it.
Dude, whatever.
They got bigger, they got bigger nerds.
And then my buddy Shane, I used to work with, his brother's on a team that plays Overwatch.
What?
Yeah. Oh. And he makes money. He's traveling.
Is that a first-person shoot 'em game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See,
that's unreal to me though. Yeah. That, like, I didn't know it was that gigantic. I guess I just I'm old now because I'm 34.
Right.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
And then I found out the NBA is doing that too, which is cool. And the NBA though, I feel like they did it the right way. They had it so it's like is NBA 5-on-5 like hockey? I don't know.
Yes,
so they had five players at a time you're able to play.
Oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
The NHL's like, no, one-on-one.
It's just one-on-one. It's yeah, like, it should be a team. It should be a team.
It's like, you should always be a defenseman or the right defenseman. This guy should always be the left defenseman.
Well, technically, it should be six. Teams of six. Someone's got to play goalie.
True. Well, why not?
I think the NHL kind of
goofed
up.
On it. They always goof on that. They always goof on something. Like, they have an idea, and it sounds like it's going to be a good thing, because everyone already loves the NBA esports thing that I was reading about.
Yeah.
And then the NHL's like, well, no, we're just going to do it our way.
To be honest, I saw about 10 minutes of it, just one guy playing against the other guy. But it was almost like a speeded up highlight.
It was so boring.
Like, you're not watching the whole game. It's just they go to kind of highlights of what happens here or there. So it wasn't too terrible.
It's just boring.
It was. I mean, if there's nothing else and I'm jonesing for hockey, I guess I'll do that. And I don't want to play myself. But
You know what, though? We used to watch poker on TV, which was dumb and boring. Yeah. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Well, once again, same thing. If I come across it and there's literally nothing else on, I'll watch it, go, all right, and then it's like 5 minutes, and all right, I had my fill for a month. I don't have to come back, you know, maybe if it's on next month, I'll check it out for another 5 minutes.
Yeah, Daniel Negreanu's playing. Yeah. Okay, I'll check out a hand or two if he's in the final.
Because he's a hockey guy.
Yeah, he's a hockey, Vegas guy.
Yeah.
So, what is your thoughts on that, though? I mean,
whatever.
I just think
they're not getting my viewership, but
I just was like, well, I don't know. People
are giving it a shot. Let them try. Why do you hate new?
I hate new. No.
You hate Vegas? They're new.
No, NHL. I don't hate Vegas. Are you kidding?
Oh yeah, you get you're tired of it. No, I told you. Figure them out.
No, I told you that I predicted the Jets because I wanted to be right. But my heart was like, kind of cool. Vegas wins it.
Yeah.
Well, and then people were saying, you know, Eddie was telling me the other day, he's like, yeah, but you know how obnoxious their fans are going to be if they win a cup their first year?
Every fan base is obnoxious.
And that's what I said. I'm like, have you heard Ducks fans? We won it first in California.
Yeah, yeah.
You're exactly. Around for 50 years. You haven't won.
Yeah. And then
you won
Kings,
two.
We won two.
We
it's
won
one
two.
One.
Woo,
we
two. It's like,
two is one and one.
Oh, God. And it's like, oh, yeah. When's the last time Toronto won a cup? Oh, we invented hockey up here in Canada.
How many do we have in our
entire
history?
It's just like everything, dude. Yeah. It's like fan equals fanatic. People are nuts.
Pretty much. And they're the bandwagons. And then once the seasons go down, the fair weather fans, when weather's not all that fair, then they're out. So.
Which is never fair in Canada. It's always great in California.
Yeah.
sorry.
I don't know where that came from, but okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. Just throw some shade on Canada.
As you do.
So, Ducks updates.
Yes.
The Memorial Cup is going on right now.
All right.
So, Sam Steele and Josh Mahura, Ducks prospects.
I love that name. Sam Steele.
Sam Steele. I know, man. It sounds like he's like a movie action star.
Like a porno star.
Or you could go that route, too. I knew you were going to say that.
or it
so
could
I
be like
the other way
or
with
it. Or it could be like a lawyer. Call Sam Steele. He'll fight for you.
It's like Larry H. Parker, and now it's Sam Steele and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Let me bring up
stuff.
So with Sam Steele,
yeah,
you and I thought we watched some training camp last year that he looked pretty good. Maybe he's gonna have a chance out of camp to make the team. Mm-hmm. He didn't, obviously. Yeah. The dude is killing it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he had over 80 points this season. Last season, 131 points for the Regina Pats, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So his ceiling right now, they're talking about him being a number two center in the league once he's able to gain some weight. He's a smaller guy, speedy center, skill, highly, highly, highly skilled guy. But the last scout report I saw him, he's like 5'10", buck 75.
Who cares? Buck 80. What's Marchessault? He's 5'9".
Oh, and then look at these other guys. What, Braden Point? Same thing, right?
I think it's going to be
Johnny
absolutely
Gaudreau,
perfect.
He's going to be fine.
I think he'll be fine. This new NHL is built for speed and skill, so he's got both of those. You know, yeah, obviously he's going to have to bulk up a little bit. Troy Terry kind of had the same thing. He came in and played a game, I think, for the Ducks, or two maybe. But his biggest problem is I just remember him going in the corners and he got demolished on what looked like a fairly easy shove. So, yeah, that's always kind of the concern is you know, the guys coming in, can they handle the physical side of games? But for the most part, the Ducks need to change their approach and not go so physical. They need to get faster and get some of that young blood in there.
Well, the goals are going to be very, very, very stacked next year is what it seems like. I mean,
good. They didn't even make the playoffs,
coming
right?
Through, yeah, they missed it on the last day. Yeah. So, I mean, what they're saying right now about Sam Steele, I just want to give Ducks fans an idea. I mean, mm-hmm. You're looking at he's got – he had some injury issues, so he didn't play a ton of games, but he still had well over a point a game, right? He played 60-something, 54 games, 83 points.
Yeah.
So, he says he's got really, really fast hands, a lot of speed, which – I mean, what has everyone been barking about in Anaheim that they need? We need skill and speed. Okay, so does everybody, but who do we got?
Yeah.
So he's definitely that guy. And you look down at Josh Mahura, he had a coast-to-coast goal last night in the Memorial Cup. And he's also a guy where just maybe another gem is found in this Ducks defensive core that they've been trying to build. He's a good two-way defenseman. Ding, ding, ding. That's like the Ducks specialty. Every single guy is a two-way, two-way defenseman.
Yeah.
You never have this guy who's like a Carlson, right? Yeah. Or you don't have a Doughty that's coming up in the system. You have a guy who's good two-way defenders. Yeah. And then you're talking about, I think the guy that I'm most excited about, though, obviously, would be Max Jones, just because he's a nasty player, and that's kind of, it just fits the mold for Carlisle and Bob Murray.
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose all your teeth, so to speak. I mean, it's good to have the skill guy there, but it's also good to have the guy who's, you know, the, for lack of a better thought right now, like a Tkachuk. Like, I mean, he can play nasty, he can play on the edge. Tkachuk often goes past that. So you don't want someone that's kind of necessarily at that end of
it. But he potted 20 goals.
Yeah. I mean, so he's still putting it up there. He can still be an agitator. And, you know, as long as he can produce and have some of that skill, you can keep some of your size as well. But it all comes down to production, because we can't have another – essentially what Corey Perry does, and that's just be a little annoying but not really produce a whole lot of points.
Right. I mean, because Perry's past that point production level, and he's just hasn't gotten over the fact that that's happened, so he just continues to be an agitator.
Yeah. Question. Now, with
Josh Mahura.
Yeah. It's with him, if he's another, you know, one of those diamond in the rough players that the Ducks have gotten on defense, and we still have a ton of young defensemen kind of coming through, Walensky, Pettersson, those guys are all really, really young and moving in there. Do you think the Ducks should try and make a package at some point in the near future to maybe kind of package some of those young prospects and try and get that elite number one defenseman? Because, you know, Lindholm, although very, very good, still, in my opinion, needs a couple more seasons to get into that number one spot.
If he even develops into that.
If he does, you know. But I feel like he's got the ceiling for it. It's just, will he get there? He's gotten better. You know, he's had some injuries. But I feel like his game's rounding out, and he is getting better, at least eye test-wise, better every season.
So
Fowler is a good puck-moving defenseman, but he's just that half step away from being a true number one, you know, on a team. And so we're just not quite there. And it's like, I wish we had that one guy. All teams do. But if you can package a lot of young potential and get that, I think the Ducks should probably look into that.
Yeah, and Josh Mahura, I know I said a lot of two-way defensemen, but he can score. He puts up double digits every year that he's been playing in the OHL. So
I always have the hardest time figuring out if that will ever translate to the NHL.
You never know. Yeah. You just don't know.
Because he's killing it. He's got a high ceiling. And then it's like, well, yeah, he's not playing NHL players. I want to – not like it would be fair for him to try it and get in there, but that's why I kind of leave it to the scouts and
the people who know—they're
the experts to see what those little things are. And I just don't have time to go to all the Regina Pat games.
So. And I apologize. He's in the WHL. So, but I mean, as a defenseman for the Regina Pats, that's a really good team. So he plays with Sam Steele. That's a stacked team. He had 69 points as a defenseman this season.
Didn't Getzlaf play for that? Oh, no, he's from Regina.
Yeah, but he played for Calgary.
Calgary Hitmen.
The Hitmen. That's right. And then I mentioned Max Jones. He played for the London Knights, which was also a stacked team when he was there. But he also plays for Kingston now, I believe. Yeah. So, but the goals are going to get Josh Mahura. They're going to get Sam Steele. They're going to get Max Jones. Amongst a handful of other prospects, they're going to get Troy Terry, you would think.
Yeah.
So the goals are going to be good. He signed that contract.
So he's definitely going to the goals.
Yeah. Carlisle's a kind of guy that likes to make everyone earn their ice time. Just ask Jakob Larsson. He played 9 NHL games 2 seasons ago. Haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
Bring up Marcus Pettersson over him, Andy Walensky over him. Larson's not a points guy. He puts up a couple of goals a season, maybe a handful or two of assists. Mm-hmm. I wish that he was more on what everyone thought he was going to be, because that's the guy you want to package.
Yeah.
He's a big, lengthy Swedish defenseman, and that's what everyone kind of looks at. Oh, you know, the Swedish defensemen are all over the NHL that are making noise. Eric Karlsson, Hedman, I think Aaron Ekblad. Aaron Ekblad's Canadian.
Yeah.
So those two guys. Plus, if you look at all the Swedish guys on the Ducks that are always considered on top-end talent or near that. My answer is yeah. I think they need to find somebody to package together a deal and try to bring in a number one guy. I don't care if he's in his late 20s.
Would you package 3 prospects for
depends
one?
On who they are.
Yeah, and who they're getting for it.
It depends on who they are. That's tough.
Yeah, plus we're still in a salary cap crunch right now, so whoever we're getting that would already be that proven number one would probably be a big hit.
He's going to make $6 million something, right?
Yeah, I would assume so.
I mean, and you're looking at it, I mean...
Let's get Shea Weber. Okay. Let's just hand Montreal, you know, this is what it's like, Montreal, to what you do to other teams. We just give you good guys and we'll take the other ones.
Bob Murray's in a tough spot, and we've talked about it a few times.
Yeah.
He's in a real tough spot this summer. I mean, he has that, everyone's pushing him. The window to win's closing, Bob. Window to win's closing. You have all these guys, young guys in the pipeline, but you have to be careful. You can't just try to stunt their or speed up their growth, because a lot of times you end up stunting the growth by shoving them into the NHL. They lose confidence. They don't pan out to be what you want.
But I think that's the old NHL. I think it was. I think the newer one, it's, you know, yeah, they may not necessarily develop as great, but the longer you keep them in there, the slower they get, the more use I think they get to that type of play. And then trying to jump them in when they're 23, 24, because I think Larson's getting close to that age.
He's 22 or 21, I think.
So yeah, I mean, so at this point, I don't know, I would say I guess defensemen are a little bit different, because it becomes more of an experience thing, so you start seeing things. But I think at least for the forwards, you got to start getting them in there with that speed, and at least for the Ducks, on the Ducks side of things, that's my opinion again. So sorry to derail
but what do you but what do you do? You have the top nine in Anaheim, and you're talking about Jones and Steele. Everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to see Troy Terry. Where are you going to put them? They're not going to get quality minutes. They're playing with Jared Bull.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a logjam with players we can't move. But I mean, at least from the defensive side, we have some room to work with now. Beauchemin's gone.
I'm pretty sure BX is not coming back.
We're not bringing him back. I think he already knows it. But I mean, that opens some room up for the defensive side of things. But yeah, I don't know. I feel at this point you got to start moving players in. And Chimera was there. We don't have Wagner anymore. Vermette's not even
Kelly's
for sure.
Captain Canada. Kelly's not coming back.
So I mean, there's potential for at least that bottom four. And don't get me wrong, if Perry's having a crappy year, or Richie, they're on a short leash.
I would think Richie is, and I think the player like some aspects of Richie's game, I think what he's being asked to do probably isn't in his
repertoire.
Yeah, it's just not. Yeah. A first round pick, everyone that was high on him, he killed it in the AHL, but I feel like the game maybe just isn't there for him. Maybe another season. He's still really young. He's 22.
I don't mind him being a fourth or third line guy, because I feel he can round out that side pretty well. But yeah, like you said, it's, you know, Wish we could have gotten the first round draft pick, but when we drafted him, everyone was like, oh, he fits into Anaheim's mold perfectly. Big, strong, good hands. That's just not the NHL.
But the thing about Max Jones is he has big, strong, physical, can score just like Richie all throughout the early parts of his career. But Jones has speed. Yeah. That's the difference between that and Nick Richie's not really, not for lack of a better word, not really a really muscular guy. He's strong, but he doesn't look like he's cut.
Yeah.
He's not fast.
He's
for
big
that,
boned.
Right? He's not. Yeah, he's not fast. Yeah. And Jones is fast. Yeah. Jones is trimmer. So I think that'll help the Ducks out if he's able to make it out of camp. But Sam Steele, I really like that guy. But where are you going to put him at center?
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Henrique, Ryan Kessler, and Ryan Getzlaf. You're just not bumping those guys out of the way.
Yeah, I think they'll probably end up getting a chance. He'll get a chance at some point for a call-up, something like that, just mostly because, like you said, Getzlaf's been injured quite a bit. He's getting up there in age. Kessler, same thing. Hopefully, you know, not in any of these cases. But, you know, the injury bug can definitely come around, and especially the older you get, the more likely it is, and especially when we play the rough-and-tumble style that Getzlaf and Kessler play, there's a bigger possibility of injury. So I think he still gets a chance. He just may not, once again, make the opening night roster.
They're not going to. Yeah. They just don't do that. I mean, no matter how bad preseason goes or how bad training camp is, like, Randy Carlisle and Bob Murray aren't going to be just going to, like, feed these young kids to the fire in the beginning of the year. They're just going to make them earn it through the AHL. And that's something when I was talking with Max Jones, he said that he doesn't like...
Ooh, talking to Max Jones.
I did on another show, yeah. No, but the thing that he made a comment about is that he feels like he's ready for the NHL, which you expect a player like him to say.
Yeah.
But he said it fits him better. It's physical, it's fast, he likes to play that speed. So I think that he and Sam Steele, the two guys that we should look forward to seeing, but I feel like you're going to see Jones over Steele just because he's not a center.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, though, when it comes to, like, packaging people up on the defensive side of things. Mm-hmm. I think you might see a forward get packaged and moved to make room. And you're going to have to give up a goodie and move him to get a defenseman on the back end. So I think a young forward prospect, I hate to see one of them go, but I think that's going to be the move for Bob Murray to free up somebody in order to bring him in. Or maybe even an NHL, because it's who are you going to move? You can't move Perry, Getzlaf, Kessler, all these insane contracts that no one wants. It's tough for Bob Murray, and then he's got Patrick Keefe coming back next year.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough all the way around. I mean, the Ducks, they got stuff to figure out, and the annoying part is you almost just have to make a decision. That's what sucks, because you're afraid, well, if we try and go this way or that way, you know, we're going to get it wrong, because there's a lot of ways of like, hey, what we've got's, you know, good enough. If we can get some of those younger guys into the system a little bit, everyone steps up their game, a year older, that sort of deal, it might help, because the Ducks aren't necessarily a really old team, even though their star players are. So maybe they make the next step, or they go, all right, we got to pull a trigger because we need a better defenseman, you know, and it's going to come at the cost of some of our prospects. So.
Yeah, because these defenders just haven't become that guy.
Yeah.
They've become close,
yeah,
and they're all in their 20s. And I kind of feel like you know what you're going to get by the time they hit Fowler's age. So you got a couple more years for the younger guys.
Yeah.
But when you're 25, 26, if you're not all of a sudden starting to look like a stud, you're looking like the guy that plays next to the stud. It's like, well, what do? You have a bunch of guys that are close. You got to trade for somebody.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, Drew Doughty kind of started off that way. It really wasn't, you know, it was always the talk. He's going to be that number one. He's going to be a great defenseman. He's going to get there. And I've heard that talk with Fowler, you know, not so much with Fowler, but more with Lindholm. But, you know, it took a while for Doughty to get there. And defensemen, it takes a little bit longer. That's why you don't see too many guys who are Norris Trophy candidates and in their low 20s. You know, it's mid-20s or up. That's usually when you start to kind of get your feet and kind of get going there. So there's still room and potential for a lot of the Ducks defensemen to eventually grow in there. But I'm with you. It's just, you know, be a little bit patient. You know, I wouldn't, you know, throw the towel in on Lindholm and say he's hit his ceiling.
No.
Fowler's kind of where he's at, and I hope he starts staying healthy, especially right at the end of the season. That would be really helpful.
And oh, boo-hoo. If the worst comes to worst, you have a bunch of guys who are number twos on your team that, I mean, that's not a bad thing to have.
No.
You're just eventually going to run into contract trouble because of your other stars you paid.
But. And then you end up running into a team that is going to be able to go past, you know, number two defensemen. Or,
right.
You know, second line defensemen, second pairing.
So that's the show for today. We almost made an hour, 50 minutes. Big Ducks segment. So those of you that tuned in and you're Ducks fans, hope you appreciated that.
You're welcome.
We'll be back again Memorial Day weekend. We'll figure that out.
Sure, why not?
We should try to do one. Should we try to do one in between the Stanley Cup Final and this?
Sure.
I mean, why not do it over the phone? Figure it out.
Okay.
Got about a week. These playoff series could be over by Tuesday.
Yeah. Is the mic still on? Are we still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
Just wanted to make sure. Throw that out. Man, you didn't even look. I'm like, yeah, we're recording. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Go to thegruelingtruth.net to check us out there. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.